And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
My name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I'm a redneck romancer out here in northern southeast Texas, and this here is yet another interesting installment of Ask Philo, and I got some questions right here. You can tell I have questions because they sound like questions. You're just going to have to take my word for it as we go further here. But all right, so this one here, I got actually a couple of interesting ones here, and they all kind of come together at the same time. I got one from Rob, and I got one from, let me see here. Yeah, well, that's one from Rob and then one from Eddie, and they both involve, if my truck dies, can you resurrect it for me? Now, I got to be completely frank with you about this. Now, we're walking into some somewhat dangerous territory here, because I got to tell you right now that the Auto Mechanics Union is pretty dang strong here in East Atchafalaya, Hoosawatosh County. And I get a little cranky about that, but I can tell you that from experience, technically, it's very difficult to reanimate a pickup truck because, well, for one thing, your pickup truck ain't actually animate to begin with. I mean, it's a machine, so it's not an animal. See, that's the thing about reanimating is it assumes that it was animate in the first place, which is kind of outside of my field, but I gotta tell you right now, my cousin Bartolomeo. Now, Bartolomeo, he has himself some progressive ideas when it comes to the dark arts and crafts, and he decided that if you put gasoline into a pickup truck, then that gasoline is effectively the blood of the pickup truck, and since the gasoline was made from the dinosaurs, then theoretically, if you treat it that way, then you just kind of reverse engineer a dinosaur spirit and got yourself a reanimated pickup truck. And well, it was an impressive sight, I gotta tell you. I've never seen a pickup truck rear up on its hind legs and start chasing someone around the parking lot. That caused all kinds of commotion and more than a little astonishment on the part of many of us, especially Bartolomeo, who was not entirely prepared for the creation to turn on its master quite so quickly, but it didn't help that he was wearing an old Sinclair t-shirt. And if you don't know about the Sinclair gas stations, well, their mascot's a dinosaur, so you can see that the pickup truck might have felt that it was in a bit of poor taste right there, and it won't give old Bartolomeo a piece of its dinosaur mind, as it were. Now, of course, it doesn't help a whole lot. You may not know this, but chickens are basically the descendants of dinosaurs. And so you just imagine a chicken brain, but then make it like a lot bigger. And that's about how much brain your average dinosaur had to go with, especially because this particular one was not one of them peaceful, quiet, don't mind me, I'm just over here plant-eating dinosaurs. No, this was one of them big, angry, stomping around, roaring Jurassic Park-type dinosaurs. Fortunately enough, your average bipedal pickup truck does not have the kind of turning radius that you might expect. And it also comes in handy that it says Dodge right on the front, because that's really good advice, especially if you're being pursued by it, as it is motivated by the fact that it says Ram on the side. So you got, you know, it's got the 2-for-1 right there, and that's how Bartolomeo lost his job there at the auto place. But, well, actually, he was just a detailer, so it really wasn't a great big loss. And he has been volunteering with the roadside assistance until they asked him to please stop. So I guess the answer really is, can you reanimate my pickup truck? If you want to be all literal about it and be like pedantic, then the answer is no. But if you want to be like practical about it, the answer is yeah, but you probably shouldn't. Let me see here. And then I got another question over here from Michael. It says, how many times you reckon I can resurrect my hunting dog before he can't hunt no more? He keeps getting hit by my pickup. Now, Michael, I got to ask you two very important questions. First of all, where did you get the pickup truck from? Because if you got it from Bartholomew, we really ought to have a talk outside of this here podcast, because there's a whole spiral-bound notebook full of information, which I'm pretty sure you are going to benefit from possessing. The other side of that, though, is actually is a... Yeah, where was that? Yeah, there it is. What's that? Oh, actually, Rob had the similar question, which is, what's the best breed of dog to reanimate? And, you know, it really is kind of dependent upon your basic goals here. I mean, we had one dog that was just the dang smartest dog in the world, but if you look at him, you might think he was, in fact, part Dodge pickup truck, because he was just a big fella. Big old rangy, shaggy thing. I think he was basically the outcome of several years of complete disregard for genetics and mostly focused on survivalism. He used to be actually, my neighbor would rent him out as a hunting dog, and he'd go out with the people, and the people would shoot, and they'd miss, and they'd shoot, and they'd miss, and they'd shoot, and they'd miss a third time. The dog just go home, and then my neighbor could rent him out again. He could rent that dog out 3-4 times in a day, depending on how bad the hunting was. But about reanimating hunting dogs, I would say that, you know, pretty much any of your larger breeds are good. I don't think you want to go for a wolfhound, because they get a little fragile in the limbs there. And the one thing you're really looking for in a good reanimated hunting dog is durability. Because let's be completely honest about this. Once you reanimated an animal, you are pretty much operating it outside of its factory warranty. And that means it's going to be awful hard to get your replacement parts unless you know a guy. And, well, granted, I know a guy, and that's part of the reason I'm not allowed at the Petco no more, but that's beside the point entirely. I would say mostly just avoid the Chihuahuas, because they're annoying enough as it is. And if you reanimate a Chihuahua, it's just going to keep on yapping, and it's never going to get tired. That's the one joy of having a Chihuahua, is you know that sooner or later it's just going to run out of air, and then you can savor the 3.5 seconds of relative calm before it starts right up again. All right, let me show you here. I got another one. Where is that going? It's over here. Oh, who wrote that one? Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Oh, wait, it's upside down. Never mind. Who is your craziest cousin? Asks my friend Michael. Michael, hey, good to see you again. Well, my craziest cousin, that's going to be Clem. Now, I got to be honest with you about this. Now, first and foremost, Clem knows I'm going to talk about him, and it's okay. We've already made some deals and bargains. One of the things I got to talk to you about Clem here is Clem is actually a redneck romancer in his own right, but he does have a bit of a learning disadvantage in that he is, in fact, what is that word there when you can't figure... What's that word we can't do the... dyslexic, that's right, dyslexic. And, you know, necromancy as an art form is extraordinarily strict. There's a lot of rigor going on, not just in the dead bodies, but also in the fact that you gotta write everything just proper. And in one of his earlier experiments, old Clem got himself a glyph backwards, and that's why he has one human foot and one cloven hoof. And it's a little challenging sometimes to get footwear, because he only needs the left shoe, really, because, you know, we got one foot that's human, and then you got one cloven hoof. So, well, he goes in and tries to buy one shoe, and that's why he's not allowed in the Payless no more. And to get the other foot, well, you pretty much have to go, go to the Build-A-Bear and get some of their Build-A-Bear bare booties, because that's about the right size for the size cloven hoof that he possesses, and that's why he tends to have a lot of spare boots. But fortunately for those, for the most part, those things are kind of ambidextrous boots. But we did learn one very important thing, which is, now, as much as we like Build-A-Bear, and I gotta admit, it's still just a fun outing, no matter who you are, they don't like it when you bring your own parts. And I don't care what it says on the sign there, don't bring your own parts to the Build-A-Bear, which is why it is that when he goes into the Build-A-Bear now, he's gotta wear a disguise, because they don't like him bringing his own bear, try to put together a bear out of his homebrew kit. You only have a homebrew Build-A-Bear bit anyway. But, and what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.